today. Of course, the Ivies are with us tonight, and unsuspected surprise, and I'm very thankful. They had special services today, old-fashioned day, I believe is what he said, and so they had an early service, and so I told him he must be glutton for punishment. Came back for more preaching, so but they're here tonight, and so ask him if they could sing a couple for us before we get to the message tonight. Appreciate them, love them, I'm thankful for their church, and Brother Ivy, you all come sing for us. But we'll be in 1 Timothy in chapter number 6 this evening, 1 Timothy 6. God is good. Been a lot of prayer requests, a lot of burdens on a lot of hearts. God cares about every one of them. Thankful not one ever slips by Him. In our text, Paul's going to continue talking to Timothy as we're wrapping up our study of this book. But the other day I was getting ready, and wife and I were talking, and this older is about twice a year. Pretty good, but twice a year, just get winded. Just not like physically as much. And last couple of years, at this time, we were heading over to England. And that was kind of just refreshing time. And it was not going this year, but we're going next month. So looking forward to that. But about a month ago, I was talking to another church member. He was just like, I'm praying for you because this time of the year, between now and May, it's a killer. And it is. It's nonstop. And somebody said, hey, the other day, they said, can you look at your calendar and get together one Saturday? And the next open Saturday, but there's like nothing on it, was May 16th, I think. And I was just like, he goes, okay, I'll take it. But it's just a lot going on, and a lot of heavy requests prayed for. Got to feel my heart tonight. Got to anxiously waiting to get through service and see how things are going. And you love people, pray for them. And talked this afternoon right after church to guys just really going through a hard time. He's just pouring his heart out. That is hurt for him. And this is what Paul called the care of the church. And it's just a lot. Not many will ever understand that, but you for that. Just you care and you love. And so just pray. There's a lot of unspoken requests, a lot of things, a lot of concerns, and just praying for people. And Paul here, Timothy's going through a hard time. That's why the letter's written. Timothy's at Ephesus, and we've been studying all this, and he's been dealing with trying to correct some errors, fix some things, and get people to rise up and take a stand, and some people to be quiet and go away. And he's just trying to encourage them, and telling Timothy, and our big outline again in chapters 1, 2, 3, how to build an effective church, and correcting some church issues, and in chapters 4, 5, and 6, how to build an effective Christian. And we saw the walk with God in chapter number 4, and then being a witness for God in chapter 5 and 6, and we've been covering these things, but we saw a relationship with the people of God in chapter 5, all the way to chapter 6, verse 2, but elders and widows and others that what is biblical and right. And then the priority of godliness, chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. And God still expects godliness from His people. And then we saw the peril of gold, verses 7 through 10, and that for those that were in love with money in the church, and it was causing great problems and great hindrances to the work of Christ. And ultimately, the love of money is the root of all evil, verse number 10. And Paul had to address these things and trying to correct and getting eyes off of the temporary and onto the eternal. And then the pursuit of God, of goodness is what we started last week in chapter 6, verses 11, really to the end of the chapter. We saw a challenge to Timothy last week in verses 11 and 12. And that challenge was to flee these things that he's been talking about, this love of money and covetousness and idolatry and envy and railings and evil surmisings and all these things. Flee these things, Timothy. Don't even entertain them, but to flee these things and then to follow after godly characteristics, which we saw in verse number 11, righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. But to flee those things and to follow certain things in verse number 12, fight and to continue taking a stand. And there are some things that are worth fighting for. That's not lifting up our hands and punching people, but going to take endurance, going to take a stand, and there's some things that are worth fighting for. And that brings us to where we are tonight. We saw the challenge to Timothy last week, and now the charge to Timothy, starting in verse number 13. The charge to Timothy. And we'll just get through a few verses tonight, but really this will take us almost to the end of the chapter. But for tonight, just a few verses. But verse number 13, let's read a few verses and then we'll pray. It says in verse 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, till the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, for your love, and thank you, God, for the word of God. It's already been great to be in your house tonight, and Father, I thank you, Lord, that you'll just quickly go through three songs and a special and try to get out the door. Lord, we're here to worship you and hear from you. God, it's good to sing with each other, and it's good to be sung too. It's good to be ministered to and to pray together and to love each other, smile at one another and pray with each other. Father, I just pray now that you just, most important part of the service is looking at your word. I just pray that God, you just please open our eyes, that we'd behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, help us tonight and teach us what we need to learn. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Real quick, you see the charge to Timothy. Paul's coming to a conclusion in this epistle. And he's been dealing with a lot of stuff in Ephesus. And most recently about this, you can see there, false doctrine was being brought in verse 4 in our chapter. There was pride, doting about with questions of strifes and words and envyings and strifes and railings and surmisings and perverse disputings, corrupt minds, and these other things. Paul said, if you hear any of this or see any of this, stop it. Don't let it come in. But contrast, what we need to do is be godly in verse number 6. And understand and be content. And apparently there were some in the church at Ephesus that will be rich. They had a will and a drive, and all their whole life became about money and collecting money, and that brought in many foolish and hurtful lusts. And that love of money, Paul said, is the root of evil, and And many times, I don't think we have anybody that's not really been to church a whole lot, but people, again, when we give our offerings, we give it to the Lord. And you know, there's, praise the Lord, that's not been an issue here, to my knowledge, ever, as long as I've been here. But I've been around church enough to know that there are some that when they give large amounts of money, they feel like that they have power associated with that, and that they're going to direct how everything goes, and if they want to do something, then better be preached on, because they'll quit giving their money. And you say, oh, that's terrible, and I have known of it to happen, right? And in churches, and I think that's kind of what I see in this chapter, that Paul's having to address some of this, because these people are really involved in some things and bringing in some things that should not be. Paul didn't teach them to do that, but they're being very bold. And in the letter, he calls Timothy, but thou, O man of God. That term's not just thrown around everywhere. All right, it's only used a few times for a few different men. But Paul is making sure the church at Ephesus knew that Timothy was a man of God. And he tells him to take a stand and to fight for these things and to run away, flee from these other things, and to follow after righteousness. And now he's going to give him a charge. Because now, and I told the guys in our Biblical Preaching Institute classes that it amazes me how so many times we talked about three different types of preaching. There's topical preaching, there's textual preaching, you do a text at a time, and then there's expository, where you go through larger passages or in, you know, books of the Bible, like we're doing on Sunday nights. And I told them, I love, now we try to do all three, like almost weekly we have all three, but I love the expository preaching, because I told the guys this. I said, when you're just preaching through a book in the Bible, no one can ever come up to you and be like, you chose that passage to pick on me. Nope. You know, we started this 9 months ago, right? 10 months ago, right? I had no idea where we'd be. All right, just the verse we're on, right? And so I told the guys, that's one bonus on expository preaching. And I told them this, it also amazes me how we'll be in just the right passage at just the right time for just what we need. And tonight is just what I need. And I'm thankful for this passage of Scripture. And just follow along with me how God helped me this week, right? A charge to Timothy. Number one, there was an exhortation in verse number 13. It says, I give thee charge in the sight of God. I give thee charge. He's going to encourage Timothy here. And it's so important to encourage people who are doing right. Look around you. Teach your kids to thank their Sunday school teachers. Whoever cleaned the church this past weekend, I don't even know the list, but you did a fantastic job, right? I sit in Sunday school. You know, I always thank the person that made the breakfast for us in Sunday school. You know, this morning I said, I'm going to stop. My wife is in nursery, but I said, I want to thank my wife publicly for making the breakfast this morning, because, you know, you ought to be thankful for when people are a blessing to you. And when people are doing right, and those that are living right, and those that are honoring God, and those who are faithful to services and faithful to your ministries, you know, I think it's a not just good, but proper and right to recognize them and thank them. And Paul does this with Timothy. He's trying to encourage him. I had a message one day last week, and this person in the church, you know, he just sent me a simple message on a Sunday night. It just said, and the simple words were this, I just want you to know that I'm with you. That's all they said. It's so encouraging. And it's such a blessing. And the exhortation, and the first thing we see under exhortation is he encourages Timothy. He's encouraging, because Timothy, this is not easy for anyone to deal with all these things he's dealing with, much less to be a younger man. To bear this burden, you know, and not be looked at in the church, you know, as you know, an elder. This is Timothy. He's a young man. And so that's why Paul, I think, calls him a man of God. He wanted everybody to know that, right? But now he's going to try to encourage this young man. And he does it, first of all, with the presence of God. He says, I give thee charge in the sight of God. Paul wasn't there, but God is. Paul may not be able to look at Timothy in the face, but the Lord was with Timothy. The Lord, I'm thankful, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And God, He was right there with Timothy, and Paul was reminding Timothy of this, that in the sight of God, He hasn't lost track of you, Timothy. He knows what's going on, Timothy. He knows not only all the stuff you're feeling with, He knows you're not feeling good, Timothy. He knows you've got stomach issues, Timothy. He knows that, you know, you're sitting up at night, you're worried about these things. He knows what you had to listen to by those complainers. He knows, and He said, Timothy, it's okay. God, in the sight of God. And I'm thankful tonight that no matter where we go, no matter what we go through, no matter what health issue, no matter what family issue, no matter what financial issue, no matter spiritual issue, whatever it is we go through, God's there. That's the blessing of being His child. But you see the presence of God, and then you see the power of God. It says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things. Quickeneth, make alive. Give life, revive. He's the life giver. Amen. Timothy, not only is God there, but whatever it is, He can handle it. Whatever it is, He's got the power. He's got the authority. He is able to handle these things. And so you see the exhortation, and we keep reading, and we see the example. The example, we keep reading in verse number 13. It says, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession. Now that seems kind of odd to be thrown in right there, but well, so what's he doing? He's reminding Timothy, alright, of an example that he can look to. And well, one he does is the Lord's confession before Pilate. That's, he says, before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. You say, well, what's that all about? Well, remember when Jesus was standing there and Pilate looked at him and Pilate said something to this fact? He said, don't you know I have the authority to set you free or kill you? And the Lord said, you have no power of aught against me except to be given you from above. Now the Lord wasn't being mean, He wasn't being sarcastic, but He was bold. He said, Pilate, God's in charge, the Father's in charge, not you. And that's what Paul is reminding Timothy of in his passage of Scripture. Listen, I know you're dealing with a lot. I know it's not easy. I know you're young. I know that you're having to bear a lot of burden. But Timothy, look back at the Lord. He wasn't intimidated by all the pomp and the Roman authority and the Roman guards. He looked at Pontius Pilate himself with a bold confession. Son, don't be intimidated. You stand where God has you stand. You see the example of the Lord's confession, and then the example that should motivate him of the Lord's coming. In verse number 14, it says that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only the Lord's confession, but the Lord's coming. In this verse, real quick, I like these things. Number one, there's a reminder. Does I give thee, verse number 14, that thou keep this commandment. What commandment? Well, the one that we've been looking at early in this chapter. We looked at last week. We can just stay there. Flee these things. Follow these things. And fight for what is right. Then he tells him here in verse number 14, keep this commandment. He gives him a reminder. He said, now you need to remember what I've told you. Timothy, don't quit. You see the reminder, then you see the requirement in it. It says there that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable. The requirement is this, that Timothy, you continue to take a stand and continue to do right, all right, and live that clean life. Live a life of integrity. Live a holy life. Give no one reason to rebuke you. Live that kind of life. It's important that I and you and we all take heed to these things. And Paul tells him, he said, the Lord's coming back, so here's the reminder, keep the commandment. Here's the requirement, do it all without spot, unrebukable, and here's the reason, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's coming back, Timothy. And like one of our favorite hymns, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. The appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ is one of those things that I think we as independent Baptists, we all believe it, we'll all amen it, we'll all nod our head, and we'll all praise the Lord's coming back. Oh, we don't live like it so often. Because 1 John chapter number 3 says if we really believe this, it would make a huge impact in our life. Let's look at that verse real quick. First John chapter 3, just a few pages to the right. We'll come right back. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. 1 John 3, 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's a blessing, amen? Isn't it great to be a son of God, amen? Y'all, you know, I'm not like one of those, like, everyone has to be like jumping up and down, and but a good amen is biblical. When a choir sings, you should amen them. Your pastor's trying to help you a little bit, right? Amen them, right? Say why. It encourages them. They sang the truth. I promise. They're not singing truth. We're not going to let them sing it, right? Let me get them and be like, just act how you want to act, and who cares what the Bible says, right? We're not going to let them sing that, right? But what they're singing is truth, right? And so when they get done, you got to amen them. You say, why? Because it encourages them. It's saying, I agree with what was just preached, and there's a whole lot of people sitting that when it's dead quiet, they're like, huh. Just trying to help. All right, amen. But in verse number 2, it says, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Coming a day, He's coming back for us, and we're going to be like Him. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. We read this morning Titus chapter 1, verse number 15. To the pure, all things are pure. In this passage here, every man that hath this hope, we believe that He is coming back. And we believe that our bodies are going to be changed to be like His. We know one day, man, we're going to be made just like Him. No more sin, no more crying, no more pain, no more sorrow. Isn't that going to be wonderful that day when it comes? But we that have that hope in us should be purifying ourselves right now. In other words, you're not going to miss Thursday night. Oh, I just lost all my 8 inch. All right. You say, well, come on now. No, that's what the Bible says. Not forsaking the assembling ourselves together. Right? And so much more as what? Yes, right? That day's coming. And this world's getting worse. And so we need that. Alright, and I know there's some providentially hindered things and people at the work, and I get some of those things, right? But if you're sitting at home Thursday night, that's not right. And we can say we believe He's coming back, but not really. I mean, not really. Now, if you're sick, please stay home. You know, Matthew Huddleston texted me this morning. He's like, I'm laying here in puke. I was like, do not come to church. Man. Stay away, right? Right? You're sick. There's enough going around, right? Keep it home, right? You know, but I'm talking about you're healthy, you're sitting at home, but man, you just love Jeopardy. You say, I'm tired. I've worked. We all have. By and large. I get it. But this is important. And we need this. I mean, if we're not, we say, the Lord's coming back, I believe it. How many times did you read your Bible this week? If you're not in the Bible, do you really think He's coming back? You know, Thursday night, the Lord, I hope the Lord comes back Thursday night at 8 o'clock. That'd be awesome, right? You know, I'm all in, right? You know, He comes back. I surely wouldn't want to be sitting at home watching whatever's on Thursday nights at 8. I don't know, I'm never home. All right, but whatever it is, I wouldn't want to be there. I'd want to be in God's house. Amen? I mean, we should want and desire. You know, I surely, if the Lord comes back this week, amen, that's great with me. Even so, come quickly. But if He does, and I say I believe that, I surely want to stand there and be like, oh, I didn't have time to talk to You this week, God. I didn't have time to listen from You this week. Now, we that believe this, it's going to change us. And back in our text, he says, now there's a reminder, you got to keep this commandment and do it without rebuke and do it without spot, because He is coming back. That should motivate us to live a holy life. Coming back. You see the exhortation and the example, and then you see the exclamation in verse 15 and 16. The exclamation, you see, first of all, that moment of revelation, still continuing with the thought of the Lord's coming back, that moment of revelation which in His times He shall show. There will be the moment when He does return. That day is coming. It's His time. I don't put dates. I don't guess. Yeah, but look at you really 2026. Yeah, I have no idea, and I'm not even. Because the point is this: just be ready. But God does know when He's coming. There is a appointment, and in His time, He will show it. It will happen. If you're here tonight, you don't know Christ as your Savior, it will happen. It may not be this week. It may not be this year. It may not be in this decade. It may be after I'm dead and gone. But He is coming. And when you look in the Scriptures and you see what He's promised and how He said He's coming, and then He gave some things to be looking for, my friend, talked about it this morning. We're there. There's so many things. And again, you say, so we're getting close to that day. It is. But a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years with us. So I don't even, don't, you know, some teenagers are probably just like, oh, no. It's going to be okay. Right? Promise. It's going to be okay. Right? And just do right. Right? You know, if I tell you the Lord's coming back tomorrow, in God's eyes, we had 1,000 years, man. All right, so you know, I have no idea. Just be ready. And you see, the moment of that revelation, in His time, He will show. We're going to see Him. Won't that be a wonderful thing? You see, the moment of the revelation, then the marvel of the revelation, the marvel of the revelation. In verse number 15 again, it says, "Or who in His times He shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords." Oh, man. You could preach a whole series of messages on this, but I'm just going to... Don't worry, I won't. Right? But look what it says about Him. You see, number one, He's absolute in power. By the way, He's talking about the one that we're going to see one day. We're going to see Him. You know, we... yesterday, when I was a family, it's been the... 2 years since my dad passed away, and I sit there and I thought about that last night. I was laying down in bed and I thought, how awesome. I've seen the Lord. That's just a little overwhelming, right? And one day we will see Him. And we get this little brief description of him, that he's absolute in power. You see, he is the ruling one, potentate. He is the royal one. He is the King of Kings. He is the reigning one. He is the Lord of Lords. And these are things that we're kind of used to. We're like, yes, that's the Lord. Amen. But he's reminding Timothy, who's really down and really scared and fearful about some things. That's why he'd have to tell him, God's not given us a spirit of fear, Timothy. That's why he'd have to tell him to be of good courage. That's why he had to tell him, thou man of God. It was not easy. But he said, he is coming, Timothy. And there may be a lot of people there at Ephesus that are trying to intimidate, and a lot of people that's bringing some wrong things, and a lot of people that may be withstanding some things. But one day, the King's coming. And one day, no matter who it was in Ephesus that was trying to flash the cash and try to maybe roll some things and rule and be Diotrephes among them, but one day, those knees will bow. One day, every tongue will confess that He is Lord. And I'm so glad that I'm on the winning side. It's going to be okay, Timothy. He's coming back. I told a man I was talking to this afternoon, who's very brokenhearted. I said, one promise I can tell you right now, son, is that God will deliver justice. Vengeance is mine. And God will take care of the situations. Whatever it is and whatever you're going through too, the King's in charge. And He will take care of it. He's absolute in power. He's ageless in person. Verse number 16, who only hath immortality. The word immortality means he'll never die. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about us and our bodies at the resurrection. This mortal shall put on immortality. We'll be made like Him. You know, I was cleaning this week over in the building and I reached down to get some things off the floor and my knees are just like, and I almost fell down. I was like, what in the world? I rebuked my knees. I was just like, what are you doing? And I stood back up. I like did the move of the legs. Like, what are you doing, knees? And just a quick reminder. Slowly wearing down. Still got plenty of time, but slowly wearing down, right? May need two new knees, but it's slowly wearing down. Someday, we'll be given a body like His. Isn't that awesome? I mean, yeah, really. I mean, not only is it awesome, but it's really cool. We'll be able to walk through walls. You will. That was His resurrected body. Walk. Yeah, we don't need doors. Isn't that awesome? Here we are. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. We'll be able to travel from place to place at the thought. That's awesome. Well, come on. You guys are just like, we get a no more pain. I'm thankful there's no more pain, but it's more than that, friends, right? I mean, we're going to have a body like His. We'll be able to go from a new heaven to a new earth, back and forth, wherever we want to. It's going to be awesome. A glorious thing. But in any case, He's ageless in person. But Timothy, don't forget that. That even when we face the worst this world has to give us, which is death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Timothy, it's okay. We're on that winning side. He's absolute in power, He's ageless in person, and He's awesome in His presence. Verse 16 says there, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see. Okay, what all is that talking about? Well, He's glorious. He is absolute. Now, we are going to be risen in immortality. We're going to get a body like his. But there's none that will be glorious like him. You remember when Moses wanted to see God, and God's like, no. But I will put you in the cleft of this rock, and I'll put my hand there, and after I pass by, you'll be able to see the back part of me passing you by. But even just that changed Moses' visage, to where when he came down the mountain, people couldn't even look at him. They couldn't even look at Moses. He was coming down the mountain. People were like, whoa, right? Read it. It's interesting, right? They couldn't even look at him. There's none as glorious as the Lord. And that Shekinah glory of God, that's where we will all bow one day and just be basking in that. That's why there's no need of a sun in heaven. He is that light. It's going to be wonderful. So, Timothy, I know it's dark. I know. But the light's there. You don't see it right now, but he's there. And we close with this. He's arrayed in praise. To whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Honor and power. He's the king, Timothy. He can change. He has unlimited power. And that will never change. It's everlasting. Timothy. Don't quit. Timothy, keep following. Keep fighting. Keep fleeing these things. Because God's right there with you. And it's going to be okay. And those people in Ephesus that were intimidating, and you wait till they get a glimpse of God. You don't even know what intimidation is. He's the king. And no matter what it is that you're going through today, there's a whole lot of things, a whole lot of people are going through in our church right now. God's with you. He's right there. He's not made a mistake. He can change anything and do whatever he wants to do. And no matter what, in the end, he'll be right, and he'll get all the glory. That's who our God is. Father, I pray.